You know, we hear a lot about heroes today, and that title gets applied to ball players or entertainers and things like that. But I think we have lost sight of what a real, genuine hero is. Somebody who is a benefit to mankind. Not just somebody who has a great deal of talent or notoriety, but somebody who really helps mankind from God's point of view. Well, today I'm going to introduce you to somebody, many of you already know her, someone who makes headlines, top stories, I believe, in heaven. And that is our missionary to Haiti, full-time missionary, Lois Beadle. Lois is here today. She is visiting various churches. She ended up coming home last May when her father passed away suddenly, unexpectedly. And so she came all the way back here home, Michigan, from Haiti to attend the funeral of her father. And she has been here since then, visiting various supporting churches. A number of churches support her, and getting some training opportunities. And soon she will be going back to Haiti. And I'm going to let her speak here for a few minutes and update us on what's going on. But I want to brag on her first, just for a moment or two. Lois works with Crossworld, and you'll be hearing about them in a moment. That's an international evangelical Christian outreach organization that ministers and makes disciples and trains people to reach unreached people groups with the gospel. She's going to tell us some things that go on with her ministry. But I think you should know, I'm not sure she's going to mention this, in 2012, her team that she works with in Haiti, in 2012, witnessed no fewer than 5,490 children in attendance in the Good News clubs that they put on, the five-day clubs, the Christmas and Easter party clubs, the Bible classes, the church and teaching classes, and an astounding 1,002 conversions to Christ were reported during that time. Praise God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That is real kingdom work. Many leaders were trained as well. And so we need to pray for Lois. Support her with our prayers on a regular basis. I give updates in the pastor's prayer letter on a regular basis, things that are happening in Lois's ministry. We usually have her prayer letter out as well. And today, you'll notice in the back at the display booth back there, she's got some information about her ministry. So you can follow her and find out what's happening. And so what I'd like to do now is ask that you give her a big Stony Creek welcome. Lois Beadle, come on up and share with us.
Good morning. I bring you greetings from all of my brothers and sisters in Christ at my church in La Pointe, Haiti. They are always thrilled when they know that I'm going to be traveling and that I can bring greetings from them to you. Wherever God has placed us, we have a sphere of influence. And as God brings people into our lives, they in turn reach out to others. And our influence grows far beyond what we could ever do by ourselves. Because we are a team, I believe that everything I do in Haiti, you have a direct partnership with me in that. Because we are a team, we are influencing people in Haiti more specifically in La Puente since 1990. La Puente is, I'm sorry, I'm turning my head. I have to look, get my head right at the mic there. Excuse me, I'm making it hard for those poor people back there. Maybe I should just hold it, that might work better. Okay. More specifically in La Puente, since 1990, La Puente is called La Puente de Palmiste. It is the point that sticks the furthest out in the ocean on the northern coast. Rebecca and Midland are sisters, and their mom is one of our Good News Club teachers. I have known them their whole lives, and I was privileged to be one of their children's church teachers. They call me Aunt Lois, and it's a joy to have them in for Friday night at the movies, to be a part of their life, but most of all, to see them accept Christ as their Savior as young girls, and to watch them in their spiritual journey with the Lord as they grew through their teen years. I've been a part of every major event in their lives. Whitlene is the one wearing a glove. Whitlene has friends wherever she goes. She's almost late to everything she attends because there are so many people to talk to on the road before she gets there. Where Nika, who is in the graduation gown, is a little bit more like me, a little bit more reserved, a little bit more quiet, not quite as boisterous as her younger sister is. We have helped pay some of their school bills, and God also allowed us to, through our scholarship program for teacher training, when they decided that they wanted to take the teacher training course we offered called Teaching Children Effectively Level 1, I was thrilled to be one of their instructors. Now you have to understand that this class was very unique. It's the only class where the majority of the students were men. Usually in our teacher training courses, we have maybe one or two men and all the rest are women. And it was very unusual, but I was praising God that boys and girls are going to have godly men as examples, and that they will be influencing children as they teach them. After they earned their certificates, they joined our team and began teaching and using what they had learned at our training seminars. quite interesting because whenever he had a problem, he would come to my housemate Gail and I'd say, will you please pray for, and it would be schooling for the children, his son's girlfriend got pregnant, they didn't have money to get married, just a myriad of problems. And he always said, will you pray for me? So I believe the Holy Spirit had started wooing him because he did believe that God would intervene and make a change in his life. Well, as Pastor said, I came to trust that the child will be fed, clothed, and sent to school. Lorana works very hard so that she can be fed, clothed, and sent to school. But we are having a part of her life. I'm not sure what God has exactly for her, but she is walking with him. And as I return, I hope to have a greater influence in her life. I don't know if that'll mean meeting weekly with her, but God has something special for this little girl. So as you see the kids going off to school in the morning, as you see the school buses, if you would pray for Lorana, that God would help her to follow his paths, not the temptations that are around her, and that she would grow and work with him. In Ephesians 6, you all know that that's the chapter where we talk about putting on the armor. And after the armor is all on, there's a verse in verse 18 that says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." So I would ask you, as we have an influence in Haiti, that you would pray specifically for these and others that we influence. We could be here till midnight if we wanted to talk about all the people that we influence just in our daily lives as we go around. But if you would pray specifically for Melisent and his new walk with the Lord, that he would grow in such a way that he would be a vibrant witness. For Lorana, as she works so hard to succeed in school, and she really doesn't have much help at home, that God would intervene and be her help and be her strength. And for the sisters, Widlene and Nika, that God would continue to use them as they teach boys and girls. In 1983, I went to Haiti for the first time and lived in Brett in the Artibonite River Valley. It's called the Breadbasket Haiti. That's where all the rice is grown. This year marks my 30th anniversary of ministering in Haiti. In 1990, God moved me to La Pointe, and for those first 17 years of ministry, I taught missionaries' children. I'm an elementary school teacher, so that they could live with their parents and not have to go off to boarding school. As our students were growing up and moving off, God transitioned me into teaching Haitians how to evangelize boys and girls and how to teach the Bible. I will be returning to La Pointe, God willing, next year. That sphere of influence continues. As our lives touch the lives of those around us, we don't know what that final ripple is going to be, but bless us, God does. We don't have to know the
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, folks, that's a hero. That's somebody who's making a difference. And you know, God calls all of us to make a difference too. You're making a difference by praying for Lois and through your faithful giving. 10% of all our general income goes to supporting our missionaries, of whom Lois is one. And so check out the booth in the back and follow her ministry and remember to pray for her. Well, of course, all of you know about the terrible shooting that took place at the Navy Yard this past week. And again, we hear people wringing their hands and wondering, why is our society becoming so violent and things like this seeming to be so commonplace? How could our society ever be healed and remedied of this? Well, I'd like you to look at a scripture passage that I was meditating on. As I considered those thoughts myself this past week, and I'd like you to help me as we come to the yellow print and read aloud with me. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 15, the Apostle Paul says, "This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it." Help me out. "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst of sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life." Wow. You say, well, the Apostle Paul, the worst of sinners? Come on, man, this is a guy who changed the world for Christ and was a great missionary and evangelist planting churches and at the great founding of Christianity. Yes, that's the way we remember him from Scripture. But we also know that before he became a believer, he was a persecutor of the church. He tried to destroy the church. He says in the book of Acts that he tried to get people to blaspheme, that they would actually curse Jesus Christ to avoid punishment. And he tried to do that, and some of them he had put to death, and others he oppressed and persecuted in other ways. This was what he was before he became a Christian, a murderer, a person who took people's lives unjustly. And yet, as he calls himself, as the worst of sinners, God had mercy on him and changed him, changed his life to become a great man of God. Now, I do not know of any other philosophy or religion or whatever that takes a person who is so violent and so set on evil and changes that person around to become a great man of God and to truly help mankind. The gospel does that. The Lord Jesus Christ does that. He changes lives. That's our remedy, folks, is changing people from the inside. It's not just, you know, taking people's guns away or putting in metal detectors and all that kind of thing. That doesn't change the person. Jesus Christ changes people from the inside. And no philosophy, no government program can do that.